A. A general attack was made from the Prenestine Gate to the Vatican. 7 Gothic columns with their military engines advanced to the assault, and the Romans who lined the ramparts listened with doubt and anxiety to the cheerful assurances of their commander. As soon as the enemy approached the ditch, Belisarius himself drew the first arrow, and such was his strength and dexterity that he transfixed the foremost of the barbarian leaders. A shout of applause and victory was re-echoed along the wall. He drew a second arrow, and the stroke was followed with the same success and the same acclamation. The Roman general then gave the word that the archers should aim at the teams of oxen. They were instantly covered with mortal wounds. The towers which they drew remained useless and immovable, and a single moment disconcerted the laborious projects of the king of the Goths. After this disappointment, Vitiges still continued, or feigned to continue, the assault of the Salarian Gate, that he might divert the attention of his adversary, while his principal forces more strenuously attacked the Prenestine Gate and the sepulchre of Hadrian, at the distance of 3 miles from each other. Near the former, the double walls of the Vivarium were low or broken. The fortifications of the latter were feebly guarded. The vigour of the Goths was excited by the hope of victory and spoil, and if a single post had given way, the Romans and Rome itself were irrecoverably lost. This perilous day was the most glorious in the life of Belisarius. Amidst tumult and dismay, the whole plan of the attack and defence was distinctly present to his mind. He observed the changes of each instant, weighed every possible advantage, transported his person to the scenes of danger, and communicated his spirit in calm and decisive orders. The contest was fiercely maintained from the morning to the evening. The Goths were repulsed on all sides, and each Roman might boast that he had vanquished 30 barbarians, if the strange disproportion of numbers were not counterbalanced by the merit of one man. 30,000 Goths, according to the confession of their own chiefs, perished in this bloody action, and the multitude of the wounded was equal to that of the slain. When they advanced to the assault, their close disorder suffered not a javelin to fall without effect. And as they retired, the populace of the city joined the pursuit and slaughtered with impunity the backs of their flying enemies. Belisarius instantly sallied from the gates, and while the soldiers chanted his name and victory, the hostile engines of war were reduced to ashes. Such was the loss and consternation of the Goths, that from this day the siege of Rome degenerated into a tedious and indolent blockade, and they were incessantly harassed by the Roman general, who, in frequent skirmishes, destroyed above 5,000 of their bravest troops. Their cavalry was unpracticed in the use of the bow, their archers served on foot, and this divided force was incapable of contending with their adversaries, whose lances and arrows, at a distance or at hand, were alike formidable. The consummate skill of Belisarius embraced the favourable opportunities, and as he chose the ground and the moment, as he pressed the charge or sounded the retreat, the squadrons which he detached were seldom unsuccessful. These partial advantages diffused an impatient ardour among the soldiers and people, who began to feel the hardships of a siege and to disregard the dangers of a general engagement. Each plebeian conceived himself to be a hero, and the infantry, who since the decay of discipline were rejected from the line of battle, aspired to the ancient honours of the Roman legion. The whole nation of the Ostrogoths had been assembled for the attack, and was almost entirely consumed in the siege of Rome. If any credit be due to an intelligent spectator, 1/3 at least of their enormous host was destroyed in frequent and bloody combats under the walls of the city. 1 year and 9 days after the commencement of the siege, an army so lately strong and triumphant burnt their tents and tumultuously repassed the Milvian Bridge.
Vitiges and the remnant of his battered barbarian army retreated to the citadel of Ravenna, then the capital of Italy. Justinian called upon the kings of the Franks to join him in his effort to drive the Goths from Italy. But one of the most powerful of those kings, the grandson of Clovis, Theodobert of Austrasia, joined forces with Vitiges. Theodobert's large armies invaded Italy, sacking many cities, Genoa included. But through disorder and dysentery, this attack against Belisarius petered out, and Theodobert was thrown from his horse by...
在线英语听力士，感谢您的收听，请推荐给身边的好友。